Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to the 8th edition of the ODAC podcast. My name is JJ Nekloff. I'm the associate commissioner with the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, and as always, joined by the commissioner, Brad Bankston. Brad, how you doing today?
A little chilly, but outside of that, it's good. Glad it's warming up, and for those of us that are Virginians, this is cold. For those of us from Ohio, you don't think this is cold, so I'll take the cold and look for a warm-up.
Yeah, this is a whole lot of nothing right now. I know if there were 3 inches of snow on the ground, the whole city would be closed, and I would just be out there doing donuts and having a whole lot of fun with things. Chili as well, as you know, you say it's chilly outside, but I wish I had chili going in the crock pot at home right now, but I don't, as I forgot to set the crock pot with my marinating chicken thighs right now that I like to do. So I forgot to set that up this morning, so I'll still have to figure out dinner when we get back home later. Lots of things here to talk about, though, as we eat, sleep, and breathe ODAC here in this place. And we had a new sport start last week, men's volleyball, or actually the last 2 weeks, I should say. Men's volleyball got going here in the league with everybody except for Averett so far in action throughout. And everybody's got at least one win, which means our newest programs, Randolph and Lynchburg, being their first year of competition, have victories to start things off. So looking forward to that. There's one conference game that's already played, and that's Virginia Wesleyan beat Lynchburg in a matchup in the midweek this past week. And just so fans know, we're recording this on Friday the 24th, so the day that we'll post this out there. But, Brad, good to have men's volleyball up and running, and I've obviously been working with it for the past 5 years as the commissioner of the CVC. So it's good to have more teams in a sport that just continues to grow exponentially.
Yeah, it's fantastic, of course. Shenandoah making the announcement in December they're going to start the sport, and they've hired a coach now, so we expect them to be up and running. I'm not sure 2026 is going to be their year to play a full schedule. I think we'll be in 2027 kind of time frame, and there's still others within the league that I think are kicking the tires on the idea of adding men's volleyball. But we've got our league match, as you said, already our first in the books with Virginia Wesleyan and Lynchburg, and have a number of league matches that are coming up this week on Tuesday the 28th and Thursday the 30th. So we'll be right in the fray of our schools in the league playing a double round robin in men's volleyball. So we'll get a lot of conference results and start to see how things are stacking up here in the next 2-3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, and as you mentioned, coaches hired Shenandoah. Hiring Travis Abell. I apologize, I haven't heard his name pronounced just yet, but Travis Abell coming from VCU. He's an EMU grad. He's going to run both the men's and women's programs at Shenandoah. I think he's a 2019 grad out of EMU, played for their men's program, so I'm sure I saw him play then at EMU in my first couple of years with the CVC there. But then also a new women's coach specifically hired at Randolph-Macon, and that's Kelsey Goodman, who comes over from Guilford after spending a year running the Quakers program. She's a Roanoke grad as well, so now an ODAC vet, if you will, calling her that. And she segues into a great spot here as we switch gears to women's basketball and look at Randolph-Macon sitting there with a 14-game winning streak as they continue to make moves up toward that, you know, D3Hoops.com top 25 poll. We see Bridgewater still in the lead chair, if you will, by tiebreakers, if you will, 16-1 overall, 9-0 in the league. Randolph-Macon 15-1, 8-0 in the league. Washington Lee still ranked in the poll, 15-2, 7-1. And then they went up against Shenandoah last week in a rematch of last year's title game. So we saw some good things already here with women's basketball the last week. Plus, Mary Sleissner continues to just set the world on fire with a 20-20 game in the midweek last week, and then over the weekend had 31-31. So she was on the D3Hoops.com team of the week. She was one of our players of the week and was also the USBWA National Division III player of the week. That just came out yesterday, I believe. So lots of good things going for her. She continues to set her sights on the ODAC career rebounding record. And I think, you know, Brad, in addition to the men's basketball action we're seeing, I think the tournaments are going to be a little nutso as we get down to it.
Well, I definitely think you're right, and because there's such a log jam at the top. I mean, you can tell that we touched on this maybe our last podcast about the depth of the league and the strength of the league top to bottom, probably more balanced than it's been in the past and not as top heavy. So you've got some teams that are good and quality teams at the top, may not be at that upper echelon of talent level or success out of league that we've had up to this point, which I think is going to make the tournament just super exciting. The AQ is going to be on the line, and we're going to have a number of teams that are going to be ranked in that NPI ranking and have a chance to improve their opportunities to get into NCAA play when we get to the end of February, the first part of March for selections. But just looking at matchups, even on the men's side this weekend, I mean, there is a big matchup on Saturday, a glaring matchup between Randolph-Macon and Roanoke at Roanoke on Saturday that should be an ODAC title bout, certainly for this year. And a Clay Nunley team at Roanoke that's done exceptionally well up to this point, and probably, based on my recollection, JJ, my memory's not as good as it used to be, but you know, probably one of the better starts to a season that Roanoke's had in quite some time. So, big game for Roanoke hosting Randolph-Macon there at home on Saturday.
Yeah, they've got some work to do. Randolph-Macon men, who are nationally ranked along with Hampton-Sydney, but the Randolph-Macon men have won 11 straight. So they don't know a whole lot of winning or losing, I should say, going on at Randolph-Macon right now, with combined with the women's program having won 25 straight basketball games. So somebody's got a knock through on that one. But then we mentioned that Hampton-Sydney and Randolph-Macon are both ranked. Roanoke, Virginia Wesleyan, and Guilford are receiving votes toward that top 25 poll. And then we've got a lot of teams down there who are improving as the season goes along, that if they're peaking at the right time come the tournament, you know, we could continue to see that and continue to see that grind, continue to see that competition to really throw seeds out the door, and who knows what'll happen. And we heard pretty much that sentiment, that message coming from Dave Macedo. We had an opportunity to talk with Virginia Wesleyan's head coach, the men's coach at Virginia of the Marlins. And Coach Macedo just recently won his 500th game at Guilford last week. So big milestone for him in his 25th year. So we had an opportunity to talk to him earlier today. Brad, why don't we go ahead and listen in on that interview? We're joined by head coach Dave Macedo from Virginia Wesleyan men's basketball. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good, good. Staying warm, trying to stay warm. Got some snow on the ground in Virginia Beach, a little different, but just an exciting time of year. So trying to get ready for this stretch run.
Well, you're no doubt about that, the exciting time of year. And I'm gonna hop right into it here with you. Congratulations on 500 victories, now standing at 502 and 187, which is a very gaudy 729 winning percentage. Just, Coach, if you can, reflect back on some of that a little bit and just, you know, I know milestones are what they are, and coaches say they don't mean a whole lot, but what does 500 wins just kind of mean to you that you've been able to do it at one school too?
Yeah, I mean, I've loved being a Marlin. I've loved that our fingerprints are all over this program. You know, I loved that I got an opportunity at a young age, and we kind of, you know, have had great people with us on our side, great assistants, great players, and you know, just the consistency piece. I think that's probably what we're proud of, is just how consistent we've been able to be from year to year, knocking on doors, and you know, just being in the hunt in our league. That's so difficult, and especially now with the schedules we're playing. So, you know, it's been 25 years. It's gone quick. I would say it's been a grind, and it continues to be. But, you know, looking back at some point, I'll probably look back and reflect, but, you know, probably not now.
Dave, 500 wins. Is that a Pepcid prescription that you have? Is it a Rogaine thing? I mean, you know, talk to me a little bit about the stress that comes along with 500 wins over all these years. We've been doing this together since the beginning, man. You were there pretty much when I started, and it's been such a pleasure working with you. Reflect a little bit about over those 500 wins. I'll ask you this question. What's the most memorable victory you have out of the 500? Can you come up with that?
I would say when I entered the league, you know, there were some really established programs. You know, Hampton-Sydney was obviously the beacon at that point. Coach Shaver had it rolling. And, you know, Mike Rhodes had just come in the league. You had some, you know, elder statesmen, Bill Leatherman, Bob Johnson. You just had, you know, good coaches and solid and good players everywhere. But I would say getting past Macon and Hampton-Sydney, those first 4 or 5 years, and finally winning a championship, you know, that was probably the point where we said, yeah, we can do this. And, you know, it kind of got the monkey off our back, and just allowed for us to you know, just take a step forward with our program. And I thought that was a tough thing to do because there were so many great programs, especially the elite programs in our league. And nowadays, I think everybody's a tough out, and I think there's so much more parity in the league. And it's not something that you reflect on, you know, the 500 wins or any of that. That's, you know, great and all. But, you know, I was just really glad that we got a win down at Guilford. I mean, that's a really tough place to play. Tom does an awesome job. His kids play so hard and so physical. So we were just fortunate to get out of there with a win and during a big point of our season.
You know, Coach, you talk about the grind a little bit there, the grind of playing in the ODAC. And we had a couple years there back in the 2010s, if you will, where we got four teams in twice. It's kind of feeling like that kind of year again right now. At least there's five teams, and you're
right
in that group that kind of separated themselves out of the top right there. Two of you are nationally ranked. Three of you are receiving votes toward those national rankings. It'll be real interesting to see where the NPI comes out. Talk about what you're seeing from the conference right now, because we got those five, but it's not like Ferrum and Lynchburg right below them at 6 and 7 aren't going to give you a good game as well.
We're in late January. We are definitely in the grind. All the coaches feel it. The players feel it. I feel like you have to be able to go on the road and bring your brand, and your brand has to travel. I feel like you have to do your homework. This league just requires excellence. And I feel like from top to bottom, there's no nights off. Everybody's a tough out. And it wasn't always like that when I first came in the league. But now with the way it is, the 13 teams, I think some teams have definitely separated themselves. But there really is no nights off. And you have to perform and be consistent competitors. And we talk about that with our guys. You just can't have off nights, can't have off games. You can't relax. I think casual is your enemy this time of year. And when you go quiet, especially, you don't have that energy. But we could see, you know, four teams get in again. I don't know. You know, a lot still has to happen. But I'm excited about the final 4 or 5 weeks to see where this all kind of shapes out and, you know, who emerges. There's definitely going to be a few teams that rise to the top, and there might be a few teams that drop off. But the tournament is setting itself up to be a great tournament again. I always feel that way. And I just credit you guys, Brad and JJ, you know, for the success of the league. I mean, it's known across the country as one of the top basketball leagues, if not the best, from top to bottom, how physical it is, how high level players there are in the league, the coaches. You know, it's just really fun to be part of. Maybe not always when we get into February, but, you know, definitely fun to be part of, and the challenge that goes with that.
Well, we thank you for that with a little bit of input we have into some of that. But kind of one other question here coming from me for you real fast, and a little bit of a different tenor. We've talked about your success a little bit, and it's shown in wins and losses, you know, winning a national title in 2006 and then in 07 as the runner up. But one of the guys who was on that team, he's going to go into the Virginia Basketball Hall of Fame this year, Brandon Adair. Talk a little bit about the pride you've got from a coaching aspect and just seeing him grow, not just as a player for you, but now as an adult getting into the referee world, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon's just a special young man, first class all the way. You know, he called me the other day and FaceTimed with me. He was at an airport, you know, during a break that he had to congratulate us on our win. Brandon's never been one of those guys that have been into individual accolades. He's about as humble as it gets. But he is, you know, just a diehard Marlin, as loyal as they come. We spend a lot of time together, you know, when he's off. And I just follow him closely. I mean, he was one heck of a player. We were lucky to get him at Virginia Wesleyan. He was Rookie of the Year. He could have been, you know, a couple-time National Player of the Year if we won it again. But he just was, you know, one of the best players to ever play at the Division III level, and certainly in our league. And I can't say enough about him. You know, the character, his savvy for the game, how hard he played, you know, the everyday, you know, approach. He's just an everyday guy, and he knows the game so well. He's watched so much film, and now you see it translating into his NBA career. I think there's 72 officials in the NBA. And just to goes to show you how elite he is. He's one of them, and he's, you know, in his sixth season doing it. And he's just going to get better and better. You know, so I'm so proud. I mean, as a coach, your reward is watching your former players go on to have and taste success, and watch them grow as people, and certainly celebrate their success and see their families. And we have so many, you know, Marlins that are out there doing great things. And Brandon really is at the top of the list.
Dave, I'd like to kind of piggyback on what JJ said there. Certainly congratulations to you and the program for Brandon's accolades. I think it's awesome to see small college athletics, Division III athletics, having a place in the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame, and he's certainly deserving of that. I'll never forget that game where I think he was 12 of 12 from the floor, which was just an amazing performance in the NCAA tournament. I want to finish the interview today with just you reflecting on what your true vision is of a student athlete when they're at Virginia Wesleyan, because I think you do an exceptional job of character building and team culture. Do you mind sharing just a little bit of the formula that you have to make better men, right? Because I think that's what you're really trying to do there. You've done that over the 25 years you've been coaching, and it's been such a pleasure working with you. Why don't you end with a little bit of the, if you're willing to share a little bit.
I don't know if I have all the answers, Brad. Really, I am very humbled, you know, to be able to be in this position with and coach the guys I got. But year in and year out, our goal is for to have our best players and our anchors of our program, you know, set the standard and build the best culture they can. And usually it's centered around those guys and, you know, all that they've learned and the experiences they've gone through. And we realize kids are going to make mistakes and, you know, just work habits. And we try to just make sure that guys, when they come here, they love basketball. All right. They take their education serious. They want to graduate. You know, they're passionate about the game. But they're also passionate about being great teammates. And when you have a group of young student athletes that care about each other, that create a culture of 100% effort, that connect with one another, you know, you got a really nice locker room. And I've always, you know, told our recruits, if you want to know anything about Marlin basketball, come to a game and watch our bench. When you watch our bench, you hopefully see a group that is really into it, that's really focused on one another, that thinks team, that isn't about themselves. And we've been able to keep large rosters and have a lot of guys, you know, that have developed along the way at different times because of that. And I think everybody's kind of bought into that. But it's really because of the players that set the example. I am tasked with providing exceptional leadership as the face of the men's basketball program, right? But it comes with, you know, having the right guys and the guys that really are everyday guys. And that's always been some of our message, you know, to work consistent, to get better each time out, to learn from our mistakes. But we got high character guys that, you know, really are excited about being part of something bigger than them and proud of it. And we've been fortunate. Now, some years our culture is better than others. But it really goes back to the players and give them all the credit. And you know, I'm going to bring it every day, and we try to hold those guys accountable to make sure they do. And when we have success at an elite level, it's because, you know, they've really bought in, and they're guys that you enjoy being around. I'm not going to coach anyone I don't enjoy. I, you know, we're getting too old for that, Brad, but I would say when we enjoy our guys and they enjoy each other, you know, it's just a special recipe for success, and we've been very fortunate, and hopefully we can keep that going.
Hey, it's not just you and Brad getting old. This is year 19 for me, man. So I'm
yeah, you can leave him out of the conversation, Dave, on the old piece. He's not there yet. You know, neither are you, and I'm not either, but I do want to say again, thank you for joining us. And I want to say, you know, what a pleasure it is working in the league and working for and with guys like you. You know, our basketball league's a gauntlet, as you said, and it's somebody mentioned that to me the other day when I was watching a game, and I pointed to the sidelines and I pointed to the two coaches that were coaching at the time, and I said, you know what, it's because of those guys, and it's because of our institutions and the emphasis they put on their programs about how good a coaches they are and how dedicated people are to their programs, to making those programs better and to excel. And you've been at the top of that list for a long, long time. And we want to congratulate you on your 500 wins and just say best of luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it means a lot, Brad, and I appreciate it. You know what I was like as a young coach, probably a little bit too much swagger and know-it-all, and you get humbled real quick in our league, you know? And you just learn from the guys who have been here. And you know, everybody matures. And I would say that, you know, I'm 51 now. I hope I can keep this pace up for a long time. You know, we got a lot of goals and aspirations left within the program. But it's just awesome to be part of such a special and deep league with, you know, great leadership all around. So thank you guys for making it, you know, special for all the student athletes.
Well, I think you can do it, man. The rumors out there right now that Pete Carroll's going to be the new Raiders head coach at 73 years old coming up here. So that's telling me you've got another 20-plus years. Listen, and 500
I'm not making that. I'm not making that. Look, the pace that I go at, I tell my assistants all the time, there's going to come a point in time where I cannot keep up this pace. Right now,
hey Dave, you slowed down a little bit. You slowed down a little bit on the sidelines. It's not quite the same, but that's good.
I don't know. It's never really. I have too much OCD. I just am crazy about obsessed with certain things, and you know, I don't know if I can let go. So at some point, I'm not saying when, but at some point, I will not be able to keep up this pace, and I'll probably try to do a few things I've never been able to do, you know, and maybe enjoy a holiday or two around the way.
That sounds great, Coach. Look forward to seeing you along the way. Best of luck as we go forward, and good luck making the tournament. We look forward to seeing you in Salem if you get there.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
Brad, you know, talking with Coach Mcedo was always a good time, not to mention for the content, but that accent. I always loved the accent. And the years when we had the accents in this league of him and then Nathan Davis and Clay Nunley and Don Burgess and those guys together, when you put Hillary Scott in there with them, we've had some great voices in this league. So it's good, not just good to hear the content coming from Coach Mcedo, but that Boston accent, Massachusetts accent comes out. And it's just, it's fun to talk about. Lots of things going on here in the ODAC as we kind of switch gears a little bit. But first, we got to talk about our friends and the sponsorships we have here that help us conduct some of this content and get our championships underway with our corporate champions. This edition of the ODAC podcast is courtesy of our corporate champions. The ODAC has several partners that help augment our operations, including sponsorship of awards, championship environment atmosphere, digital ticketing, and fan engagement, and overall enrichment of the student-athlete experience for the conference's membership. We thank our friends with Virginia Farm Bureau Insurance, Field Turf, Lumos, Jostens, Hometown Ticketing, The Daily 7, and the City of Salem, Virginia for their support. You know, Brad just talked about those sponsors that we had coming out, and that helps us, you know, do some different things here in the office, include helps fund our trips to the NCAA convention where we just had a little over a week ago now, being in Nashville, talking with all the NCAA Division III people. Obviously, it's all divisions that were there, so a couple thousand NCAA folks there from all the schools around the country. But we got to take four student athletes with us as well, which was nice for us that we had Bailey Hedgman and Sophia Marshall. Bailey's an indoor track and field athlete at Washington Lee. Sophia plays women's golf at Averett. And then two Hampton Sydney gentlemen with Wills Huddleston as a men's soccer goalkeeper and Alex Fitzhugh as a right-handed pitcher for the Tigers baseball team. So got a chance to talk with them, and we started out early. I mean, your impressions on what you think, because it sounds like they got a lot out of it here.
I was so happy to hear that what you hope you're doing on the front end, right, in reality ends up being what happens. And I think having heard the comments that they've made that we'll share with our listeners in just a few seconds here, it just, you know, accentuates what our intentions were from the beginning, which was provide them a professional development opportunity as student athletes to see the inner workings of what the association does. And in many cases, despite the fact one of them may not have been going directly into athletics, using Bailey as an example, you know, she made a connection for med school. And for Alex, he made a connection for his future employment that may work out for him. So, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. And in the end, that's what the business we're in is to provide educational opportunities for our student athletes. And I think we hit a home run with this one.
Yep. So we talked to our student athletes in two groups today, still on this Friday, the 24th that we had, and it's just up to schedules, you know, with their class schedules and practice and things like that. But we had Bailey and Sophia this morning, and then talked to Alex and Wills this afternoon here. So you'll hear this when we go through it, that we'll just go from one group into the other group here. So stay tuned here for several minutes of interviews here with our four student athletes that went to the NCAA convention with us. We are joined by Bailey Hedgeman and Sophia Marshall. They're juniors at Washington Lee University and Averett University, respectively. Ladies, how are you today?
Good.
Doing well. How are you?
Good. So you had a chance to come down with Brad, Stacy, and myself to Nashville for the NCAA convention. And then we also had Wills Huddleston and Alex Fitzhugh, who we're also going to talk to today about your all experience as student athletes attending the NCAA convention in Nashville. I think maybe we should start off right there. And then Sophia, you first, and then Bailey, talk about just your overall impressions of what you thought about the NCAA convention and maybe against what your expectations were.
Overall, the convention was a great experience that overall I'm very happy and proud to have been a part of. My expectations going in, I didn't really have too many expectations. I've been to conventions before a long time ago with like my grandmother, but those were a totally different animal than what this was. When I got there, I just saw so many people. And at first I was very nervous because meeting all these people that I've never met, and I'm here with some fellow student athletes within the ODAC that I've also never met. But I think that it overall was a great time to learn not only about other athletes within the ODAC, but about other conferences and to learn more about different conferences that I never would have thought of in the first place without having met these other students. It was also really interesting to meet so many different athletic directors within the overall D3 institute organization. And overall, it just really exciting and really fun to be a part of.
Bailey, how about you? Aside from the escapades we had at the airport, getting you on flights.
No, the convention was super fun. I think it was an amazing opportunity. I definitely learned a lot more what goes on like behind the scenes than I ever knew before, especially since everybody on the trip but me was in some kind of like business or administration major, and I'm pre-med. So it's a little different look at it for me. But I thought it was super interesting, especially when it came to like conversations about the athletic trainers and seeing like why some schools are having issues keeping theirs. Like WNO is very blessed to have six athletic trainers who are amazing, but some schools are not as fortunate as us just because of the environment that athletic trainers have to work in. So I thought it was just like super interesting just to see that aspect, and then also to network and meet a lot of different people from a lot of different divisions. I think we mostly stayed with D3 division, like student athletes and administrations, but we also got to see some D2, some D1 people. So it was just nice to talk about different organizations and like NCAA also, and just our own Division 3.
Both of you mentioned kind of one of the questions we asked you before when you submitted your nomination to go was, you know, what does this mean for you in the next step? Right. So Sophia, I'll come to you, and then Bailey, we'll go back to you. You can follow up. How does this experience either frame your concept of, hey, I want to pursue this moving forward if athletics is part of my career, or boy, I just witnessed that and I want to run as far away from that as I can, and I'm going in a different direction professionally. So Sophia, how does this kind of complement what you're thinking about? And Bailey, we'll go right into you.
Well, good question. But I always knew that I wanted to work in sports. I decided to add another major during my sophomore year of college here, and added sports communications because I love sports, and I don't think I could not love sports at all. And I just saw an opportunity to work in sports, and I wanted to continue and see where that would go. And I feel like going to this convention really allowed me to not only meet other students that are not only just business majors, but have a deep founded love for sports, but also to meet so many athletic directors and SID members, and as well as just like athletic training staff too, just to hear their story and how they got to where they are today. And it's always important in any profession to network. And I think that this opportunity really allowed so many of us student athletes to network with not only other students, but other business professionals to allow us to continue on with our learning in both a academic and professional sense.
Bailey, what are you thinking?
I'm kind of thinking that I definitely now kind of think I want to do something that may be related to sports, whether that be like a doctor for a sports team, probably not directly an athletic trainer per se, but maybe continuing like this line of sports, since I've been in sports since before I could remember. So I think it would be definitely interesting to see if I can continue my career path as a doctor in sports. But I also echo what Sophia said about networking. It was a great networking opportunity. I got to talk to athletic trainers about their past. I've met some people who knew some other people in different like medical school administrations. So I definitely think sports has been a big part of my life. And after that convention, I feel like maybe I can continue making it more part of my life.
When we're looking at the student athlete programming they had there, they obviously had a lot of things going on. And just kind of quickly touch, was it set up so, and do you feel like you're going to be able to maintain some of those relationships maybe that you made or contacts that you made within the student athlete perspective there? Or is it one of those things that you took it as an experience and then it'll draw out upon as you go here now?
I know that I have been very fortunate to be able to continue speaking with other students that I met. So I think that it was a great opportunity and still continues to have a reflect on my own personal life, because I met a lot of, because I'm on the golf team, I met some fellow golfer athletes from across the country, and I was able to network with them, exchange contact information, and get their feedback on certain things that I'm trying to implement in my team, and just learning how their team runs. And just, it was a really great opportunity to have essentially kind of like a soundboard to other students that play your same sport, but even just the other student athletes that don't play golf, that I've met a couple of volleyball players that I still talk to, following them on Instagram. And I think it was a great opportunity to not only gain networking opportunities, but to gain hopefully some long lasting friendships as well.
Nice. Yeah. Bailey, your thoughts?
I definitely think it was super helpful, especially the SAC luncheon we had, where we're talking about like what each SAC does on their campus. And so I'm a part of WNLs, but I also am the president of a club called Perry Minority Athlete Coalition. So I'm kind of going to take some of the ideas that I heard in the SAC luncheon and apply it to the club that I'm president of, just to help with like different organizational skills. They had some really good like different activities that you can do. So I think it was a really good way of exchanging ideas, because sometimes you don't think of things and then somebody explains what they did and you're like, wow, that's a really good idea. A great way to like benefit your athletes, like your student athletes, and then also your community as a whole, because I think a lot of WNL stuff is very big on like community participation.
Yep.
I want to end the conversation with, I guess, your most memorable moment. And if you can think about it, and even if it takes you a second, that's okay too. But of the 4 days you were there, I guess it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday kind of time frame. What was your most memorable moment?
There's so many.
Yeah, it's hard to just pinpoint one specific, because I have like two or three very concrete memories. But I guess like the first one that comes to mind is, it wasn't necessarily like during the actual convention hours. It was after the fact. The four of us had an opportunity to go to a hockey game to see the Nashville Predators play the Chicago Blackhawks. And Bailey and I, we went downtown first and we kind of walked down Broadway and we had dinner before the game. And it was just a really great experience because I'm very thankful to have met Bailey and to have her as my roommate during this trip. I think that we became really close within the short period of time and we got even like a little photo of us together. But when we went to the game, it was really fun because Bailey, Alex, and Wills, they had never been to a hockey game before, and just seeing how excited they got and with all the cheering, it meant a lot because I've been to a couple hockey games, but it was really great to be a part of that experience. And then the Predators did win, and so that was just like icing on the cake.
I had a feeling that the hockey game may have some stories, but I didn't know if those stories were shareable. So that's fine. Bailey, what do you got?
I definitely have to say Sophia is the best roommate I could have ever asked for. At this point, he's for life after this. Like the trenches of no sleep and just too many meetings and a lot of fun together. So I think that built a great friendship to build off of. But no, I have to echo the hockey game. That was so much fun. Like Sophia said, it was my first hockey game. So I didn't even know what to expect, but it was just truly an amazing opportunity. I think us four really bonded during that too. And then also, especially like when we're like walking to and from different meetings and the convention, we always like walk together because that place was huge. So this way we didn't get lost. So you know, four brains is better than one trying to walk in the hotel. But I also think another really big, like meaningful part was just meeting a lot of people and networking, and then just seeing like all the different aspects that the NCAA convention can like have for like student athletes. So all in all, it was an amazing trip.
Well, and I think that's kind of a cool thing about this overall is, you know, as humans, we're social animals, at least most of us are when you get into that group. And there's something to be said for, yes, doing the work, being in the meeting space, talking about the stuff that's planned for you, but you get just as much out of, you know, being out there in the social aspect, enjoying a game, having whatever food you're going to have it, wherever you are, drinking whatever you're going to drink at them, certain things, and you make different connections like that. And that can lead to some of the business and creative pieces to go with it. We appreciate you both for joining us here, talking to us a little bit. I think, Sophia, the next time we'll see you in your athletic arena with the golf team, it looks like you guys start off at the Pfeiffer University Invitational here at the beginning of March. And I know that, Bailey, you're going to be out there today, actually, at VMI, today and tomorrow at the VMI Invitational, right down the street from you guys there in Lexington. So looking forward to seeing what you do with throwing the shot and the weight for the indoor track and field team. So thank you for both for joining us, and have a great day. We're joined by Wills Huddleston and Alex Fitzhugh from Hampton Sydney College. Wills is a goalkeeper on the men's soccer team. Alex is a right-hander on the baseball team. So a little bit different seasons here we have going forward. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Great. Doing good. Doing good. Just got out of practice.
Cold practice.
Cold, man.
Cold practice out there right now. Yeah.
There. Yeah. Fortunately, we're fortunate enough to have a small little indoor facility donated to us. So, you know, we got to practice inside there. We're practicing inside there up until it gets at least a little bit warmer. We start our first outside practice tomorrow.
All right. Well, good for you, man. Hopefully it warms up for you there. And we, what we know was warm is when we were all in that big facility at the Gaylord in Nashville for the NCAA convention. Guys, want to talk to you and just get your initial impressions, you know, coming back from it. You have a few days now to be able to kind of let it digest in your systems. What are your just initial impressions having been at the NCAA convention? Wills, let's start with you and then go to Alex.
Yeah, no, it was great. So I'm the SAC president here at Hampton Sydney. So it was great to hear from other SAC presidents and executives in some of our meetings on how they do things, giving us some ideas back here at Hampton Sydney that we could incorporate, and then learning the business side of NCAA and getting to network and meet with all these high-level people that you only probably get to see once a year at this exact convention. It was a great experience for me, and I took so much from it.
Yeah, I kind of say the same thing. I'm not in SAC. I went through the immersion program, but I sat in a lot of SAC meetings while I was there at the NCAA convention. I sat through a SAC luncheon where, you know, like Will said, I was hearing from different SAC members from all over the country talking about what they do, how they, you know, help their school and their athletes run, things that they do and whatnot. One quote that, you know, I took away from a leadership session that I actually just used in a speech at our preseason banquet was, are you a team or are you a group? Because nobody likes a group project. And that, like, you know, that's stuck with me since we had the session, and it really emulates what, you know, our program is trying to build, you know, more of a team concept instead of just a group where it's just guys who are out there being, as you know, guys. I feel like a team is a family, right? So, you know, I took that away, and then, you know, got to meet a bunch of new people, network, you know, just getting to talk to people who are in the profession that I want to, you know, pursue, people who are in different professions that I didn't even know were out there, but, you know, they came to the same convention when they were my age in college, and then, you know, they took stuff away from it, and now they're off successful and whatnot. So, you know, it kind of helped me see what my path can be, you know, where things that this convention can take me to, just having attending it. You know, I made a bunch of connects while I was down there. So, yeah, I'd say overall it was a great time and a great experience.
Well, one of the things we asked you guys and Bailey and Sophia when we solicited people interested in going is, how does this tie to your next step, right? Alex, you're still in school. When you're done, Wills is staring this in the face, right? How did this experience kind of tie into what this next step is for you? Alex, we'll start with you and then go to Wills.
Yeah, so for me, like I just said, really just, it kind of just showed me that where this convention can, you know, take me. I met with a lot of ADs, the AD from St. Mary's College in Maryland. I had a few conversations with her. I had a conversation with her while we were eating Mexican food at the restaurant inside the convention. And, you know, the main thing that I kept hearing over and over again was network with people, you know, network with everybody that you see there, whether they're in the same position as you or not, because these people can, you know, possibly take me somewhere, right? One of the connections I made, he's actually in the medical sales field now. He said he's about to retire in the next couple years coming up here. And we talk on the phone. And we've talked on the phone three times since the convention. And I left on Friday. You know, it shows me that even though I am a student athlete, and that's a big part of who I am, you know, that student part comes first. And what comes with that student part is life after college, you know, life after athletics. And that life after athletics for me, what that looks like is medical sales. So I can take, you know, the skills and the leadership skills that I learned from here. I can take the teamwork building that I learned from here. I can take the things that I personally took away from the legislative processes that we sat in on, the voting process that, or the business session on the final day where we were voting. Just things from that, I can take things away. You know, seeing how both Brad and JJ sat through and talked and discussed while we were going through our own conferences, how we felt about the new legislative rules and whatnot. It showed me that, you know, athletics is a lot more than just playing the sport. It's probably, I'd say athletics is maybe 20% playing the sport, 80% what's going on outside of, you know, being on the field or on the court, wherever you're at. And that there's, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind. And even if you are an athlete, or, you know, want to go into athletics or not, the skills that you're going to learn through being an athlete is going to help you go far. I think somebody told me at the 180, I forget which school, told me that jobs love athletes because they know that you've got those good teamwork skills. They know you've got good leadership already. You know, I'm a captain on our baseball team, so they know that I already have that leadership skills. I know I have communication skills. And then this convention just enhanced those skills. I just posted on my LinkedIn about it, how it enhanced all three of those skills: communication, leadership, and team building. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Wills?
Yeah, no, so my goal is to go directly into this field. So I'm currently applying to graduate schools. And this was a great opportunity for me, this convention, to see people I already knew that I'd grown up with throughout the years and develop relationships with and meet new ones. I mean, I have already had two or three, or actually five email chains back and forth with people I had never even met from the conference that I sent Monday, and they responded within the hour. So the convention for me was a great opportunity to network as well, learn. Myself, I'm a coach, and that's what I want to do long term, is be a college head soccer coach and then eventually an athletic director. So I'm coaching now and using some of these things that my local high school, Prince Edward, down here in Farmville, Virginia, that I'm the assistant coach at, and including the quote Fitz mentioned about Midland Lakes Group projects. That's something I had a conversation with them about yesterday. But no, the getting back to the question, that's what's next for me is get my degree from Hammond Sydney, get into grad school, be a graduate assistant head coach, or not head coach, graduate assistant coach, and then move from there. So yeah, no, it was a fantastic experience.
Hey, the graduate assistant head coach thing, don't completely poo-poo that. When I was in grad school, we had a grad assistant who the head coach left the program. So she was a 22-year-old grad assistant head coach for the volleyball team in a Division II school. So I'm just saying, don't put it away.
It's feasible.
I know, not likely to happen. But no, you guys both talked about kind of where I was going to go next, is that not just to have the networking opportunities there when you were in Nashville at the convention, but to have them pay forward and continue to talk to those people and to work it out. So you both have talked about how you've already had those conversations. So you've already gotten there to that spot. And that, I think, is the big focus of, you know, when we have the four people that we took, or whether it's another conference that worked out programmed, or they could take more people, or maybe some just had a couple folks that went there with them. You had those opportunities to work with those people, not just to talk with those that are of your own age, of your peers, that sort of thing, but it sounds like also people that are in industry right now to help you out to move forward with it. So I think it comes down to is, you know, when we're just looking at the convention as a whole here now, this is something that we talked with both Bailey and Sophia about, is what's the one event that's going through this, whether it was a social piece to it or something that was of the planned programming, but what's the event that sticks in your head right now, really the best part of your Nashville experience there over the 4 days that you were in Nashville?
I mean, I'll go first. You know, it's for me, it's between two events. You know, one, the very first leadership session that we had while we were down there, it was a 2-hour leadership session, and it didn't even feel like it was 2 hours. It honestly felt like it was 30 minutes. I unfortunately forgot the name of the session leader. She was a former volleyball coach. But you know, her energy and her, you know, passion to want to help build us into, you know, leaders within our sports and then leaders within what we want to do post-grad, stuck with me, you know, especially that, you know, that quote, I'm gonna keep saying it. Are we a team or are you a group? Right. And then the second one is the social that we had with, you know, all the other, D3 student athletes. For me, you know, that was great because it was, you know, a kind of a cool down, easy, relaxed space where, you know, it was just college students being college students, having a good time. But at that same time, we were all networking, you know, we were all, you know, talking, having a good time, following each other on socials, LinkedIn. And I personally think that those are the connections that are going to, you know, help you out long term. Right. You know, it's great if you're making a connection with, you know, somebody who's older than you, somebody who's in your field already, because, you know, they can give you a broad scope of how they did it. But the people who are in our position, who's in my position right now, my fellow student athletes, especially my fellow Division III student athletes, we all know what we're all going through, right? We're all going through the same thing being D3 athletes. You know, we know we all know that we don't have the same, whether it's funding or, you know, same facility type bills or same exposure to things. We all know that we're, I like to say, getting it out the mud in a sense, right? We're all doing that same thing. So we come back in the future in five, six years after have talking for all these years, you know, oh yeah, we went to that conference, we went to that convention together. You know, what are you doing now? Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, you're in the medical sales field. How about you come work for me? Or can I come work for you? Whatever the case is, because we built those connections early. They already know what kind of person I am. I already know what kind of person they are.
Very good. Wills?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, all of them were pretty memorable. The two Fitz mentioned, the one by the volleyball coach who runs that. I mean, she works for Division I programs like Wake Forest. Just like that. I mean, those are the kind of quality people that in my circle I sometimes get access to, but not all that much. The two main for me were, besides the ones Fitz said, was the ODAC meeting that we got to go to, because I know that's the lame one and normally people hate it, but just seeing all the ADs in there just kind of talking and discussing and dealing, like, and seeing especially my AD, it's a different side of our AD we don't usually get to see RAD all that much because of how much other stuff he does. But getting to see him voice his opinion and in there and networking with them. And then my other main one would be the issues forum in the business session, because for someone like me who loves, and maybe it's just why I enjoy being SAC president, I love the the business session, that kind of side of NCAA, and getting to hear that and understand it and not ask questions, but be able to understand it. And Fitz and I had a great conversation with a school, I can't remember off the top of my head, out West, that we got to talk with and hear their opinions on it, and then asking us questions, and then seeing the formality of the voting that we don't get to see as students all that much, which I know you guys deal with every year, but we get to see that maybe once every 4 years. But yeah, no, those were my two main ones, is more the business side and the more professional side of the NCAA, which you don't always get to see, especially as an athlete, because you're the competitive aspect of it. And normally all those ADs are trying to be the best one, in as everyone is competitively, but seeing them all unite for business and trying to get things done and improve NCAA at large with the women's wrestling committee. Like that's a huge one that just got announced. So yeah, no, those were my two.
Well, I want to also, you know, speak on the ODAC business session. Now, if you would have told us to name three, I would have thrown that one in as a third, you know.
Yep.
You know, seeing Mr. Isley, you know, really voice his opinion, whether he agreed with the group or disagreed with the group, you know, I think that just kind of showed that it's okay to, you know, have your own opinion and disagree with the rest of the group, even if the large majority agrees with something. I forget which policy it was that he wasn't a fan of, but you know, he voiced his opinion. It was nice to see all the other ADs, even our rival school Macon, with their president and AD there, really sit there and listen to, you know, his opinions, and especially listen to why he thought what he thought. You know, it was great to see all the ADs do that to each other, and it was great to see you two, Brad and JJ, really sit there and listen to opinions, because I mean, these are you guys' ADs for you all's conference. You know, these are the y'all's main communication line in with schools, you know. And y'all were really hearing the problems that they had with things, or hearing what they liked, what they didn't like about certain things. And I felt like y'all were really taking it into account. I saw Brad taking notes while he was listening to each AD speak. I sat next to the Lynchburg AD. And, you know, they just hosted hosted an NCAA tournament for baseball 2 years back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially seeing him be there and, you know, knowing what that process is like, especially because I'm a baseball player, knowing what that process is like, and that there's a lot more to it than just saying, yeah, you can use our field. It was really nice to see that there's a lot more thought that really goes into all of this stuff.
Well, we got to pay attention to that stuff, because each one of them pays 1/15 of our salary. So we got to make sure that we get that taken care of.
I do think that's something people don't understand, though, is like, and maybe I didn't understand as a freshman in college either, is there's the conference is not just there to say when you made an error in compliance or to give you an automatic qualifier for the NCAAs. They're there to do so many other things that you don't understand. And I kind of knew a little bit more about through my background with SAC, and with Hammond Sydney hosting a basketball tournament, I got to learn a little bit about it as well. But yeah, no, those are the things I think these kind of conventions that are opened up to the students. And I know there's another one usually in the summer that was in Vegas last year that we didn't get to see that much of, but those are the kind of things you don't understand of all these ADs, and they're not just there to, you know, make the best program and do all that. They're dealing with other headaches, and good or bad too, right? So, I mean, that's one thing that conferences, whether it's ODAC, United East, or Coast to Coast, or all these, they're not just there to give you an automatic qualifier for a trophy. They're doing all these other things that perhaps we don't even know the half of them, which I wouldn't be surprised with.
True. I think, you know, our job really is about making our ADs and our institution's job easier administering their athletic department, right? So if we're doing that, we're not overcomplicating the process. It's not a ton of bureaucratic red tape. And we try to minimize that. And we have to get, you know, a lot of different personalities together to move in one direction. And that's a challenge. And you guys got a chance to see a little bit of that in the room. Not that it was contentious at all, but you have differing opinions and you're trying to get everybody kind of herded and moving in one direction. And the NCAA convention really gives us a good opportunity for us to talk and work through those things. What I can't believe is neither one of you guys labeled the hockey game as one of your most
memorable. Well, I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't know that we were allowed to.
Sure, talk about what we did,
outside of convention wise. But I mean, if we can mention that, look, Nashville was a great place. That Predators game, I don't think Wills has ever been to a hockey game either. But we had never been to a hockey game before. We had a little.
You guys fans now? Are you fans? You buy any merch from here?
I got the towel they gave us right up here.
Yeah, nice.
We got these little records. That they gave out of the game. I got my towel as well. That was a great atmosphere, you know. And then not only that, but just walking down Broadway, you know, after the game, seeing all the student athletes really, you know, in a non-professional setting. I think that makes it even better, you know, because not only was I seeing student athletes, I was seeing ADs. You know, you never get to see athletic directors outside of them athletic directing, right? I got to see athletic directors out there, you know, just having a good time, just being normal people, you know. I think that that's a side that not a lot of people get to see with, you know, people who are in power, people who have a voice.
Yeah,
that was nice to see. And then, you know, obviously the hockey game was great, and it was even better because the hometown Nashville team won. So,
I'll be honest. I didn't think we were allowed to touch base on that. So we both kind of stay clear. But no, hey, I agree.
You guys are a step behind the ladies, because the ladies said, well, that was their number one thing. They love the hockey game. So, no, it's all right. We'll make sure that we let them know that you stayed in your lane, right? You guys stayed in your lane. You didn't go down the entertainment lane in your answer.
I agree with Fitz. Going in Nashville, that was, I mean, I've been there before a little bit when I was younger, but yes, I mean we ran into one of our assistant AD just out there, and we were like, well, this is awesome. So it's just those are the kind of informal atmospheres that really honestly grow the network in the long run as well.
Well, I can't say how happy I am that you came. I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad everybody got home. Bailey made her flight peril. She made it in one piece, which is great with some cancellations, but. It was a pleasure to have both of you, and I certainly hope that we're able to stay in touch with our office and anything that we can do in the next steps for you. And look forward to, Alex, look forward to watching you play some this spring. And
yes, sir.
We wish you the best, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. You know, our team, we're making the strides to, you know, get to that ODEC championship. I don't know if you guys attend that, but, you know. If we get there this year, you know, I'm definitely going to take a picture with the two of you in my uniform and all that. It'd be great to see you guys again, you know. It was another thing that was great was the other school's athletic director saying, yeah, I'm going to remember you when you guys come and play our school.
Yep.
Right. The Shenandoah athletic director, he was saying, yeah, like he said, yeah, I think I remember you 2 years ago when you guys actually came to Shenandoah and played.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because that game, it was less than 30 degrees and cold and windy. But I mean, he was there and he remembered me, and it was a surreal experience. But yeah, you know, knowing that I got to meet these athletic directors and I got to meet these other coaches and whatnot, that was great. And I know that they're gonna remember me, and you know, that's a connection that I'll have, you know, for the rest of my life. You know, I'll be able to say, you know, we met at the NCAA, at the 2025 NCAA convention, right? I sat right next to you during the ODEC business session, right?
You guys voted for me. It was even better.
That was surreal. I'll be honest. That was surreal. And especially given the fact, like, I had conversations with ADs too, that it's like, oh yeah, you're their goalkeeper. I ran into Rhodes Defensive Player of the Year, who recognized me at the Special Olympics piece of that. But you know, that'll be cool. And if y'all ever want to come to a Prince Edward game, I mean, you're only about 40 minutes, and I think we're playing a game in Lynchburg this year. I'll have to look to confirm, but come on out and yeah, take a look at me on a sideline this time, not as a player but as a coach in a different perspective.
Well, we wish you guys the best. We really do.
Brad, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, after listening to those interviews that we were able to conduct with, you know, all four of the student athletes that went with us, that they got a lot out of it, you know, and undoubtedly got different things from it here. They'll target different stuff. But I think the two things that I take away is, you know, the social pieces that they had together, really enjoyed that and got to, you know, meet some new people in a different perspective there, but then the context overall that they've got, and, you know, hopefully that's the big thing that comes from it, from them, given that three of the four of them, except Wills, are still in school. So we'll wait to see, you know, what's going to come from that. And we'll see what Wills can do with it right away. If there's any kind of connections that he makes as he can go into, say, that grad school and coaching life that he's looking forward to.
I think it's unfortunate that the one thing that we're missing from the conference office experience is having more interactions like we just had with them over interviews and at the convention, because that really gives a breath of life into what you're doing and a value to the time spent in everything that we do on a daily basis. I mean, and it's kind of cool that they see that, you know, the conference is doing things behind the scenes that they never would have thought of before. So, yeah, great stuff and always good. And again, the convention, not a lot of hot debate on the legislative floor at all. Just really a lot of question marks continue about what's going to happen with the National Association, with the NCAA in general. And, you know, my takeaway from the convention, but more importantly this week, was having the opportunity to talk to Charlie Baker as a group of athletic directors on Wednesday, I believe, of this week. And in that conversation, asking him from a year and a half ago when he started, what's his impression? What's his biggest impression? And just the breadth of litigation that the association has faced since he took over, which was not something that he certainly expected when he said yes. Continues to bog down the progress that they want to make in areas like student athlete welfare and things that I think the general public, or the cynic in the general public, doesn't believe the NCAA cares about at all, which is the furthest from the truth. They're being hampered by the litigation that they're going to have to work through. I mean, the House settlement and some other things that he shared with us, with our group, was it's an ongoing saga. Just depends on what portion of the sports page or the news that you watch these days as about what's happening in collegiate athletics. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. This spring's huge with the House settlement. And if they can land that plane, which I think they've been building as they've flown it a little bit, if they can land the plane, I think things will be in a little better place. But my guess is there'll be more on tap with continued conversations with Congress regarding the employment issue. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, and the next couple of weeks coming up here for you all folks, we're going to be really busy here in the ODAC office as we start really getting into the nitty gritty of winter championship prep, specifically for swimming and wrestling, which are on the same weekend, Valentine's Day weekend. Really, swimming, we're down in Greensboro the 12th through the 15th of February. And wrestling is on that Saturday, the 15th as well. That's at Washington and Lee this year in Lexington. So we'll be split staff for that. And then just a couple weeks after that is when we'll have the basketball tournament, going to Salem for the semifinals and championship on Friday, February 28th through Sunday, March 2. And then the indoor track and field championship is thankfully still there in Salem, at least thankfully for our purposes, that we don't have to go too far when we're splitting our staff to get over to Roanoke College for the Saturday and Sunday indoor track and field championship. So a lot coming down with that. I could see us doing a little bit of different things maybe with the podcast, because we can still have a certain show like this that we've done in the past, but maybe when we're on site for some of those places, maybe do a on site at the swimming championship and talk to a couple people, do an on site at the wrestling championship and talk to a couple people. So we may come at you with a couple smaller shows in addition to our normal show like this, as we get into things in the next 2 weeks. So look forward to a lot of content coming here from us. For Brad Bankston, my name is JJ Neckloff. We'll talk to you next time on the ODAC Podcast.